This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everybody, welcome into this unexpected episode of The Arkham Files. We have a few announcements before getting you into the good stuff. First off, the reason for this episode. As we are sure you have noticed, or at least we hope you have noticed, that it has been quite some time since we last released an episode of Keeper of the Ways. We got you all the way up until the finale, and then just left everyone in suspense. That definitely was not by design. We've actually been dealing with some technical issues. Sam has been handling all of the editing for Keeper of the Ways, and his almost brand new laptop crapped out with a halfway edited Keeper of the Ways on its hard drive. He sent it in for repairs, and let's just say an attempt was made, and a still broken laptop was sent back to him. After several more back and forths, a popular maker of computers that shall not be named finally waved the white flag and are sending him a brand new laptop, but it's still on the way. We're very hopeful that means we'll be able to bring you the finale of Keeper of the Ways within the next few weeks, but in the meantime, we wanted to share this previously Patreon-exclusive episode with you. This episode is part of a three-part series called Helping Hand that we put out a few years ago on Patreon. We're hoping this will hold you over until Keeper of the Ways is ready to go, but if like a third of a gopher, this episode only arouses your appetite without bedding it back down, you can find the other two episodes of Helping Hand on Patreon at www.patreon.com/TheArkhamFiles. At the confidential tier. It's $5 a month. There are some other cool bonus content over there as well, including more bonus episodes. And we're releasing new bonus episodes every so often as well, so we keep those coming. I would encourage you to check that out. We also have an exclusive Gilded server for Patreon subscribers, where you can interact with all of the members of the cast, and you can get news on the show faster than everyone else. Alright, enough about Patreon. The biggest question I get most is, when is Radio Man coming? I know we left you hanging at the end of Fall of New Jerusalem, and I'm happy to tell you, I have answers. We've recorded multiple sessions for Radio Man so far, with more recording sessions scheduled. So pending the arrival of Sam's sweet, sweet new laptop, we are planning to roll out Radio Man early next year, so we can all, us included, find out what happens to the crew. And last but not least, we have a few shoutouts before we get this session started. New patrons, thank you so much for subscribing. Bryce Gant, Luke Renz, Joanna, Pizza Dragon, I Like Robots, James Sinclair, Lindsay Ciuccoli, Mr. Kitty, great name by the way, D. Tass, and Jared Sylvester. Thanks again very much. But also, shout out to the rest of you as well. We wanted to thank you, all of our listeners, for just an incredible 2022. Nothing makes us happier than when somebody reaches out to us on social media to tell us they've listened to the show, tell us our podcast got them into the game, or tells us about their experience with Lovecraft or tabletop gaming or literally anything. We love interacting with you guys. But we also want to give a special shout out to everyone else as well, our silent listeners. You guys are the reason we've grown 400% in 2022. You guys are the reason we are now in the top 5% of all podcasts on Spotify. Not just Call of Cthulhu podcasts, or actual pay podcasts, or gaming podcasts. Breaking all podcasts on their platform for listenership. So thank you so much. We love you guys. So without further long-winded nonsense from me, here is episode 1 of A Helping Hand. Can't wait to see you all in what is going to be a very exciting 2023. Let's get started here. I don't know how to introduce this. I don't know how to intro this, guys. We're off to a rousing start here.
A rousing? What?
Anyway,
you're doing great.
Super excited to try my hand at the keeping. This is an original scenario, so you know, let's see how it goes. Hopefully, you guys can keep us afloat. Alex, you know the rules better than I do, so kind of counting on you to keep us on track there as far as rules go.
No way, I'm going to be exploiting it.
And
at
again,
every turn.
Just for everybody's benefit, like we're not sticklers for the rules here. We want an entertaining game. We want everybody to have fun. And so, you know, we're gonna do what we want to do as far as getting that setup goes.
We want to do it.
All right. So again, as Alex mentioned, joined here by Seth, Sam, Abel, and Alex as our investigators. And so why don't we get started with that?
With some intros? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey everybody, I'm Seth. And in this scenario, I am going to be playing Skeet Fluter. Skeet Fluter.
Skeet Fluter.
Hey everybody, this is Sam, and I'm going to be playing Detective Flint Westwood.
All right. Abel, you there? You want to give us a little introduction?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm playing Deuce McGovern, and I'm a famous novelist.
McGovern?
McGuffin. Deuce McGuffin, the famous novelist.
All right, and I'm going to be, Alex, I am going to be playing the Treasury Agent, Carl Malone.
It's my favorite name ever.
I guess I forgot to describe what my character actually
totally
is. Skeet Fluter is the medical examiner.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so a little background before we jump right in. This scenario, as I mentioned, it's an original. It takes place in 1929 in Innsmouth. Is it Innsmouth or Innsmouth?
It's in his mouth.
Innsmouth. Either.
Okay, that's what I always say. Innsmouth.
His mouth.
Innsmouth, Massachusetts. October 31st. Very, very creepy, cliched date there.
Ooh,
October 31st, 1929. Innsmouth, Massachusetts. We're going to follow starting off with Sam's character, actually, Flint Westwood.
Yes.
And that's where we're going to jump in right here.
That's Detective.
You guys ready for this?
I'm ready.
Yeah. All right. Kick us off, pal.
All right. The Arkham Files presents A Helping Hand, an original Arkham adventure from the Arkham Boys. All right. There's only one thing worse than getting woken up by the chief of police in the middle of the night.
That's getting woken up in the middle of the night by the chief of police because there's a murder to solve. Detective Flint Westwood was dozing a little bit as he swung the automobile through the rain toward the eastern part of Innsmouth, Massachusetts, at 3:30 in the morning on Halloween. Dozing and remembering those blissful few minutes of sleep he had before the grating sound of the telephone woke him up. He didn't need to answer it. He could have thrown his clothes on and headed to the station without having to hear what was on the other end. But he answered it anyway. As Flint expected, it was the chief, and it wasn't good news.
"Get up, Flint. It's a big one. We got a high-profile corpse on the dock in the east end of the river, and I need you there immediately. What's more is I've got a real dewdropper here. You're going to be taken on a ride-along, a writer. I guess he knows someone who knows my boss, and he gets to go observe this whole thing. So don't mess this one up."
All right, Chief. I'll be there as quickly as I can.
The aforementioned dewdropper was currently sitting erect in the passenger seat, like a new puppy coming home for the first time with his tail wagging. You can't wait to get rid of him. You pull the car into a muddy stall near the dock and prepare to trek through the rain to the entrance of the warehouse. It's not one of the nice ones. One of the ones with the high-profile cruise ships use to drop off the high-end goods of their high-end clientele. This is one of the old warehouses, all old crumbling brick and drafty windows. You think this is a night like all the others you've been used to, waking up to the chief's voice to go solve one thing or another. Another case that bleeds into all the others over the years and decades, the facts of which have all but been forgotten. If only. Because at the end of this one, you'd give everything you have in the world to let the facts of this case bleed away. You'd sell your own mother to forget all about it. Alright. So Flint Eastwood, you and Deuce McGuffin, you exit the car.
That's Westwood.
What did I say?
Flint said Eastwood? Yeah.
I'm going to be doing that all night. Thanks for nothing, Sam.
Uh-oh. Copyright infringement. Cut it out.
Anyway, so you guys exit the car, you walk through the rain, and you go in, and you start walking towards the warehouse. Here's a little bit of an outside view of the warehouse for you.
This place looks pretty run down. It has been used in a long
time.
Yep,
old crumbling brick, crappy windows. So you're walking in, obviously I couldn't put the rain in there, but you're walking towards it. You get close, the door kind of creaks open and you walk in. You're at the far east end. Hang on one second.
Not to be confused with Eastwood.
Not to be confused with Eastwood.
Which is not to be confused with Westwood.
As you guys enter from the east side, why don't you scroll down a little bit? You see at the far end where there's the big doors where the ships pull in to let out their cargo. There's a ramp, and near the ramp is the foreman, Johnny Tightlips. And then down near the bottom of the ship is where your corpse is, and there waits. It's the beat cop on duty. He's basically just watching the place, keeping it safe until the detectives arrive. His name is Sergeant Murphy. Also on the scene, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you there, just arriving in his own car and getting to the point where he can go examine the dead guy there. That is Skeet Fluter, medical examiner.
Nice.
Trying to determine cause of death, etc.
All right, Sergeant Murphy. What are the details here? What do we know?
All right, so if you follow me this way, I'll show you our dead man here. Now, we were able to get his wallet. Nothing was taken. Let me show you the items he had on his person when we found him. He had his wallet. He had this notebook here. He had a revolver. And that was it. Now, by going through his
By going through his pockets and his wallet, we were able to determine who he was. And it's not like it was that hard to tell. He's somebody everybody knows. This is Seamus O'Malley, formerly, and I say formerly, of the O'Malley crime family. Last we heard, he was on the outs with his family, always screwing things up. He's always known as the screw up of the family. Last I heard, disowned completely. So it's not that shocking to see this kind of end. Here in this warehouse, I don't know, but in general.
What do we know about the warehouse? Do we know who it belongs to?
So this is just one of our general warehouses, east end of the city here. lots of ships come in and come and go and unload the cargo. They pay for space. You'd have to talk to the foreman. He's pretty hush hush. He doesn't give me a lot of information. He keeps telling me he needs we need a warrant. He's not helpful at all.
Yes, excuse me, Mr. Murphy. This is Skid Fluter, medical examiner.
Oh my gosh.
Don't mean to interrupt. I do notice this very much blood. As a medical examiner, I like to examine body.
Yes. Okay. What? So as you're about to examine the body, from the door you guys just entered, you hear it boom shut again, and a man in a suit starts walking towards you from that end of the warehouse. It's none other than our treasury agent, Carl Malone.
Oh, great.
All right, so you see walking towards you out of the rain, backlit for a moment before the doors closed, a tall, slim figure in a tan trench coat and a fedora. As he strolls towards you, nonchalantly, shaking the rain off of himself, looks aside. He's a somewhat nondescript-looking man with dark hair and wearing horn-rimmed glasses. Walks up, pulls out his wallet, flashes a badge. Says, "Good morning, everyone. I am Agent Malone of the United States Treasury Service, and I am going to be in charge of this investigation."
Agent Bloodsucker, more like.
Very funny. What is your name, sir?
Frick, what is my name?
Oh, yeah.
Flint Lockwood.
My name's Detective Westwood.
Right, Detective.
And I am Deuce McGuffin. You've probably heard of me. Maybe read a few of my novels.
Deuce McGuffin, I have not. But,
well, you
what
should.
What are you doing here?
Oh, you're a writer.
I am assisting in this investigation.
Detective, who is this guy?
I've been pulled in by the chief himself to assist, give my expertise, my know-how, my knowledge to help out in this investigation.
All right, that's great.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
I got stuck babysitting.
I'm sure it's a pleasure to meet me as well.
I'll come back to you if I need nonsense. Detective.
Excuse me, MacGuffin. Just want to make sure you get my name spelled right. Skeet Fluter. SKEETFLUTER.
Oh my gosh.
It is not as in high school when kids make fun of me.
Ooh.
Skin flute. It is
ooh.
Skeet Fluter.
Ooh. Is that with an umlaut? Excellent, Dr. Fluter. But as you can see here, this is. I know, I'm sure all you are very experienced, except for maybe.
Oh, I'm experienced.
Mr. McMuffin over here, but this on the ground.
Excuse me?
Is a very notorious mobster.
McGuffin.
Which is my jurisdiction. This is none other than Seamus O'Malley of the O'Malley crime family.
Yeah. That's what I was just telling. I'm sorry, sir. I'm what was my guy's name?
Officer Murphy.
Sergeant Murphy here. I was just giving them the rundown of Seamus O'Malley here. And I believe Dr. Fluta was just about to examine the body.
All right, Dr. Tudor, why don't you take a look? Tell us what happened here.
Yes, that's what I do.
Pretty sure I got a good theory already.
Well, it's okay. Obvious.
So why don't you roll me the spot what hidden, happened here. Skeet Fluter?
All right, here goes Skeet for the...
Roll me a spot hidden and a biology check.
Ooh, spot hidden is 60... 99.
Oh, okay. So you think it's a goat.
Wow.
What a I way am to very start the distracted season. By MacGuffin.
Maybe Skeet needs some thicker glasses.
Does that count as a fumble, or
can you see all right,
yeah.
Skeet? Doctor.
Yeah, first roll of the game is
okay.
A
so Seth, instead of I mean Skeet Fluter, instead of walking up with a magnifying glass, he went up with a torch and lit the corpse on fire.
Let right. me take a closer look.
It's easier to determine cause of death when body
yes.
is charged.
So my analysis is he is dead.
All right, so your biology is at least good enough for you to determine that he is dead. You roll the body over with your, you know, your gloves on, so you're not leaving the... And you notice two shots to the back of the head.
Oh, there's my biology.
So
do you want me to roll, or... Or
two shots to the back of the head. Is that what we got?
That's what it looks like to me, sir.
Hmm. That's just as I suspected. This looks like the work of a notorious hitman we've been on the trail of for a long time. None other than the Postman. We call him that because this is his signature. Two shots to the back of the head. Because the postman always rings your bell twice.
Doctor.
Oh, yeah. I think I've heard that one.
Dr. Fluter.
Before I forget to mention, sir, Treasury Agent Man Malone, these are the items we found on him. We've got this pocket notebook here. Looks like he takes notes there. And then we've got his wallet and gun here. And there was one more thing that we found on him that I forgot to mention to the detective and this rider man here. We also found... Hang on. How do I pull this
famous
up?
Author.
Oh, yes, I have just now confirmed the cause of death is two bullets
oh,
in the back of the head.
Oops, I did something bad.
Thank you, Dr. Scooter.
Sorry, I'm doing this wrong. Hang on. There it is. Did that come up? Oh, show players. This was something that was very interesting that we found on him. If you know, as I mentioned to you guys before, he was on the outs with his family. But this actually comes from the Sober Leprechaun, which is the speakeasy, and I'm using air quotes here, the speakeasy that the O'Malley crime family operates out of. Now, from what I've heard, is that Seamus has been out of town all over Europe for the past several months, and this is their new set of matchbooks from what I've heard, and so I have no idea how he could have gotten these unless he physically went there. And I mean, theoretically risk getting shot by his uncle.
Sober Leprechaun. Third of this joint. Dangerous area. Alright, and we got, let's see, this notebook. What we have here? Looks like maybe, I don't know, there's a bunch of gibberish I can't make. I mean, I've got this figured out. What do you think it means, detective?
You guys want to pull that up?
Dr. Fluter.
Roll me a spot hidden on the notebook.
How about you, McMuffin? You're some kind of book-learning man. Why don't
that's
you...
McGuffin.
See, that's what I said.
Anybody looking at the notebook?
I'll take a look. Hand it over.
Here
Skeet
you go.
Will take a look.
Just see if you come to the
24.
Same conclusions I did.
This is a success.
Kind of looks like a ledger of his time.
I got an extreme success. I rolled a 3.
Oh, and it's an extreme success. Okay, so since, I mean, you guys, we've had multiple people succeed. You'll notice that this looks like just a whole bunch of gibberish. When you guys are looking at this notebook, it's old, it's worn. There's a whole bunch of, as the author mentioned, a log of his time. But something looks... a little bit darker in the ink than the other just scribblings and ramblings in this old leather notebook. Up on the top left, you see a line that says, University Library, October 30th, which was the day before at 9 a.m. Looks like it may have been some sort of appointment.
Looks like this entry in the diary must be some kind of appointment. So I think maybe we should start looking there. Retrace his steps. Dr. Fluter, could we get
exactly, detective, time of death on the Vic? That's what the conclusion I had was.
Well, if you want to ask me, I think we should talk to this guy over here.
Nobody asked you.
Well, nobody, he's standing there, and he's been at the docks, so perhaps he knows something.
He probably doesn't know.
Okay, so I'm going to apologize again for this. I keep jumping around a little bit. I'm losing track of my facts. So you roll over the body, and you do your biology check. You find the two shots to the back of the head, but you also find other very important pieces of information that I have, until now, forgotten to mention.
Ding, ding.
Oh, wait, gentlemen. I find more on body.
Very obvious things,
No, it's
things
all right.
Too.
We already know who this is. The postman.
The things on the body that we notice, I'm going to need at least Abe. You're going to need to roll a sanity check.
We cut out. Who do we say?
Roll sanity.
Me?
Roll sanity.
You, yeah. The author.
That's Deuce McGuffin to you. Here we go, baby. 27.
So that's a success, right?
I'm rolling for sanity?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fail, right?
Sanity is 60.
So you fail?
No, you rolled a 27.
No, you rolled a 27.
27.
So
I am very successful.
I thought you wanted to roll above your sanity.
No, if you lose your sanity, then you roll intelligence.
Oh, okay. There you go. Thank you. All right, Abe, you lose 1 point of sanity.
What did I see?
Oh, I about to explain.
This terrible body with the dinged bells.
So Skeet Fluter, for all the surrounding audience to see, crouches down, and he notes the two gunshot wounds to the back of the head, which is the obvious cause of death. But as he rolls the body over, he also notes that Seamus O'Malley's hands are both missing. And this isn't some hack job like somebody took a butcher's knife and just quickly cut those hands off. It's almost surgical in its precision. He's seen work like that in the hospital. What's more is, as he looks up from the hands to the torso to the neck and finally rests on the face of Seamus O'Malley, he can see on his forehead a strange symbol in Seamus' own blood.
Okay, if you look here, my sirs, my
see,
good sirs,
just
if
as
you look
I
here,
said. The wow. Okay, that's just been pointed over that way there, buddy. It happens.
Well,
first murder there, McMuffin.
Amount of blood. So look at him. His body's destroyed.
Like I said, two shots to the. Oh. Who the heck cut his hands off?
Yes. If you might let me continue, sirs. This man has no hands.
Yeah, I can see that, Dr. Scooter.
So
I can
if
see
you let
that
me
he has
explain.
No hands.
Okay, this
what
man
happened to him.
If you look at around the rim of the wrists, there's a very clear cut. This only happens with either a samurai with a katana blade, which is popular in Mr. Tallahassee Turner's novels, which I have read all of them. They are quite good. Or some sort of surgical instrument. So this is very a clean cut. Not somebody that is amateur could pull this off.
How about that symbol on his forehead? Let me pull out my notebook. I want to sketch that down.
Oh, this symbol is very intricate. I believe I have seen this in a Tallahassee book. Perhaps we should call him if he had not died tragically in an accident.
Yeah, I heard that alert. Arthur got eaten by some kind of butthole monster.
No, he defeated butthole monster. He got eaten by a floating light.
Okay, so you guys can see the symbol, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see the symbol. What the heck is it? This is like a hang noodle. On. This isn't right. None of this is right. Oot. Postman right. Just shoots people in the back of the head. Who the heck cut his hands off?
Well, perhaps it's not.
Maybe he cut his own hands off.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. I mean, that those two plugs to the back of the head, that looks like the postman. The slicing the hands off, that I don't know whose that is.
Yeah, postman doesn't slice people's hands off and draw
Mr.
weird.
Mr. Skeet, that looks like precision doctor cutting.
Look, and
right
what,
there.
What did you find on the body again? Show me those things. We got a notebook, a matchbook.
Yes.
This can't. This, is this everything? Murphy, was this everything that was on the body?
You got.
Yes.
When we arrived, about an hour ago, we found the matchbook in his pocket. We found the wallet in his pocket.
I will admit
one thing I forgot before. There were $5 in the wallet, and I let that one go.
Agent Malone gets down. He starts digging through the pockets, opening up his jacket, looking in his inner pockets, going through his.
I'm gonna stand over here. That's making me a little queasy.
Excuse me, Mr. Malone. You cannot just go touching the body. This is a protected crime scene. You will ruin the evidence.
Look, Dr. Scooter, with all due respect, this is how we do it up at the Treasury Department. All right, we know what we're doing here.
No,
McMuffin, what did you say you do?
Famous author extraordinaire.
All right, so are you familiar with strange symbols and gobbledygook?
Well, I am somewhat familiar with these type of things. I write about them in my ghost novels.
All right, I grab Deuce McGuffin around the shoulders or around the scruff of the neck. I drag him over and I point him down at the symbol. This right here.
Why don't you make me an occult roll, Deuce McGuffin?
I have. Let's see. Where is it? Which one does it fall? Oh, a cult. Hey, 30. Hey, not bad. Okay. Here we go.
Five.
I got 5. Yeah. Booyah!
Wow.
Yeah,
boy. Okay. So.
All right. Just hold it in. Hold it together, McMuffin. What is it?
So, Deuce McGuffin, you look studiously or whatever. You look studyingly at this symbol on Seamus O'Malley's forehead. And as you stare into it, it tickles a memory in the back of your mind of something you read researching long ago. And you remember, this is an occult symbol. It's used in ritual magic for those who believe in that sort of thing. It's called the symbol of the gateway.
This here, my friends, is the symbol of the gateway. I've seen it before in my studies.
Well, yes, I believe I have read about this in a Tallahassee book.
Gateway to what?
What that means exactly is... Cue Peter.
Yeah, that's all you remember.
That's it? That's all he knows?
Yeah.
You're right. Oh, well, I guess you're not completely useless, dudes. Nice job. Pats you on the back really hard.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the compliment.
There could be a connection here with the library. Maybe he learned of this symbol there, and someone killed him, drew it on his head. Maybe he knew too much. I don't know. But I think we should start with the library.
Very astute, Detective Western.
One thing I like to ask is, there are 2 bullet holes in his head, but where are the shells? Where are the shell cases?
Are there exit wounds out his forehead?
No.
Then okay, the bullets are still in his head, Mr. Examiner.
the shell casing, we would like to have those if you, I mean, just a suggestion, Mr. Investigator Extraordinaire, Detective.
Is there blood splatter or anything on the crime scene, or does it look like his body was just dumped here?
I would like to...
There's a fair amount of blood. He looks as though he was killed here.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I would like to take this body
back. Kind of look
back
around, look under any of the like pallets or anything, and just take a little peek around this area.
Roll me a spot hidden.
Alright.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow suit once I see
my spot hidden is 60.
Once I see Agent Malone start poking around looking, I'm gonna start looking around too.
I rolled a 100.
You stand up to look around and you hit your head on a
support
beam. Sucks
to be on this side of the dice.
Take 1 point of damage.
What happened?
I said you stand up to look around and you hit your head on a support beam. Take 1 point of damage.
Really?
No, not really.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
I guess you did roll a 100. Yeah, I'm going to make you take the 1.
All right, gosh dang it.
Well, I rolled a 17.
Oh, real nice.
What's your spot hidden?
There's nothing. 80.
So that's a hard success?
Yeah.
Okay. So Deuce McGuffin, as you're looking around, you notice... One thing you notice that seems like it might be innocuous, but you're not sure, is there's some fairly fresh scrapings along that side entrance where ships dock. It looks as though maybe at least fairly recently a ship docked there.
Agent Malone, over here, there's some scrapings along the edge here. This looks like perhaps a ship was here recently.
Where,
what do you think?
I think it probably is nothing.
Detective,
I didn't see.
It looks like there's some scrapings.
I didn't notice.
Over
this,
here.
I mean, I.
Sergeant Murphy, do you have the shipping manifest?
I'm sorry, what was that? Flint Eastwood?
I said, Sergeant Murphy,
Westwood.
You happen to have the
thank you
shipping manifest.
No, as I mentioned to you before, that the foreman over there, he's very tight-lipped. He won't tell me anything. He won't give over the manifest. He just says he works here, he saw the body, he called it in, and where's my warrant?
All right, I'm gonna go talk to Mr. Foreman. Hey, foreman.
I'll follow him over.
So you approach the foreman?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go over there with him.
What's my intimidate?
What's the foreman look like?
Thank you, Alex. So the foreman is very yellow.
He has four fingers on each hand.
Yes, he's got four fingers.
Shifty
on
eyes.
Shifty eyes. Now the foreman looks.
That's a Simpsons reference. Everybody, Pete's not being racist against Asian people.
The foreman's name is Johnny Tightlips. It's a character from Simpsons. And anyway.
Well, I didn't see nothing. Well, I see a lot of things.
Or maybe just offensive towards.
I don't know.
Yellow belly.
Moving on.
So Johnny Tightlips, he is a broader man who, you know, he looks like someone that commands respect in the shipyard. He's big. He's muscular. Balding a little bit, maybe getting into his late 30s, but still very intimidating himself.
All right, I'm going to walk up to him, and I'm just going to start off with, I'm going to flash my badge at him, and I'm going to roll and intimidate.
I'm going to flash my badge at him, too.
You don't just roll and intimidate. You,
but I
want to
look intimidating.
You're trying to look intimidating? All right, roll and intimidate.
When Detective Westwood flashes his badge, I also flash my badge, but put it in front of his badge.
Well, it looks like I see a couple of badges.
Hey, are you the foreman?
Yeah, I'm the foreman of this warehouse. I do a lot of the warehouses around here, and I came in a little while ago.
All right,
found a dead guy.
I whip out my notebook and I start taking notes. All right, I'm gonna need to get a look at the shipping manifest, see what ships have come and gone in the last 24 hours.
Great.
You're gonna need the shipping
just...
manifest, foreman.
Yeah, I'll happily hand it over if you just show me your warrant.
Really?
I got a warrant right
you
here.
Wanna play these
I'm
games?
Show him my badge. Going
to take
space.
You downtown and throw you in the slammer for impeding our investigation?
Yeah, if that's what it takes. I've got some time to kill. I can go in the slammer.
All right, I'm gonna roll my intimidate now to try and scare him.
You guys are a
go
little bit.
Go in the slammer. Can you go to the cemetery?
You guys. All right, I'll let you roll an intimidate for that death
me?
Threat.
I'm giving him the assist. I'm assisting.
Okay, yeah.
So I get a bonus die.
Bonus die.
Excuse me, everyone. Detectives, while you're talking to this man, I examined the body further, and I have found atopic dermatitis around his epidermis, or by his wrists.
I failed.
So this he may have cut his own hands off.
All right. Well, there's a real.
We take
there.
A closer look at his feet and see that he's got hands for feet.
All right. Yeah. You can bury me in the cemetery. You can take me down to the slammer. But listen, I don't work for either of you guys, and I've got a job to do, and I've got bosses who really care about their privacy. And if they see me handing out these manifests like that, I mean. I didn't say nothing.
Hey, Pete, is there, like, an office around here?
Yes, there... I didn't draw it on the map, but along this back... So if you scroll down to where Johnny Tightlips' feet are, this back wall, there's an office there.
Okay, so the wall behind us, then? The one down closer to...
Yep.
That guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all right, if you're not going to help us and assist law enforcement, which... should be every great American's duty. Is that what's this over here? I start walking towards the office.
Wait.
I'm gonna.
Sorry, what did you say? You walk towards the office yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I enter if the door's open.
Yeah, the door's open. Hey, what are you doing in there?
I go inside.
You're not supposed to go in there.
I want to look around, see if I can find the shipping manifest.
Excuse me, Mr. Tightlips. How would you spell that? I'm taking notes for my book for this investigation, and I want to make sure you get the credit you deserve for helping us so much.
Yeah, it's B-U-T-T. H-O-L-E.
Such a character.
And then monster. All right, roll me a spot hidden, Agent Malone.
All right, my spot hidden is 60... 55.
Booyah. All
right, that's a success. So you're searching through the office. That's the one. And you look through the desk, and you're able to find a shipping manifest.
Boo.
All right.
Case solved.
And that's the end of that chapter. Sorry, I'm just trying to find
all right,
it.
So, all right, I start looking through it.
See
looking for the
works.
Most recent.
And I'm trying arrivals. To get my interview with Tight Lips to try and prevent him from going in the office there.
Okay. Cool.
Let's see. We got some items here. Some
various customs lifestyle.
Elephants?
Various costumes, livestock, elephants? Livestock, lions, horses. The oldest trick. Freightliner shipping manifest. That was the most recent. Egyptian god statues.
Callio?
Egyptian god statues? Mr. McMuffin.
McGuffin.
Callio.
Hang on a second.
Oh, Egyptian god statues. This.
So, as you're looking
Calliope,
at this.
This is a bunch of circus stuff.
Gold painted mummy tomb.
No, this.
Mirrors.
This could be
silence.
Related to. Mythological creatures?
Mr. McMuffin, that symbol that was on that guy's head, does that have anything to do with the Egyptians?
So as you're rifling through stuff in the office, Johnny Tightlips comes over, because obviously you've now drawn a crowd. There's like three people over there with you arguing about it. He comes to the doorway of the office. Hey, what are you guys doing in here? Aw, man. Listen. You guys didn't see that. Give me that shipping manifest. Give it to me so that I can account for it, and I'll tell you guys whatever you want.
How about you tell us what we want first?
How about you kiss my butt?
Gladly.
Look, how about I have Sergeant Murphy start taking a closer look at the shipping dock around here and see how many violations he could cite you for.
Are you going to try and intimidate me again?
Yes.
All right, go ahead and roll another.
24, yes. I got a hard success.
All right, I'm successfully intimidated, but I was already telling you I'd tell you whatever you want to know. So, what do you want to know?
All right, look, I don't need this nonsense, some sort of... You got a bunch of animals and gold-painted mummy tomb. I don't know what this nonsense is. Explain this to me, tight lips.
That's the shipping manifest of the only ship we had yesterday. I don't know if all you fellas have heard. I'm not breaking any news here, but there's a circus coming in from, I don't know where, Paris, France, London, England, who cares? And that's their ship. That's what they transport. They've got elephants. I don't know. It's for the tricks. The setting up. I think they're premiering tonight. I'm not gonna lie to you. It was a little bit, pardon my language, but crappy. Unloading all of those animals. We got them docked. We got in here, and then it took us like 2 hours even to make it in here, and that's when we found the dead guy.
Interesting. Bunch of carnies, eh? Sounds like a bunch of hand-cutter offers if I ever heard of them.
I don't know nothing about no hand-cutting off. The only thing I cut is my whiskers on my face.
So Skeet Fluter has a question. Were the hands around the body?
No,
the hands
gone.
Are just gone.
They're gone.
They're just missing.
Oh, they're gone, yeah.
Yeah, his hands are missing.
Okay.
Now he's hanging out in the park with a guy who has no hands.
Well, I think we know where we need to go look. Find these dirty, traveling, gypsy, carny folk. I bet if we find him, we'll catch him red-handed.
Oh, I get it.
Takes off his
glasses.
His
hands are bloody.
He says that.
You probably can move the manifest there.
Agent?
Nothing?
Can I quote you on that? That's a good line.
You can, McMuffin. Can you guys hear us?
Yeah. It's just not that funny.
Oh. Okay, just checking.
Just kidding.
All right, well, it looks like we've got a couple leads here. We could split up and follow a few of them at the same time.
Well, Detective, I think I should go to the library.
Detective, why don't you check out the sober leprechaun? Even figure out what O'Malley was doing there.
All right, I suppose I can do that. If you want to follow up on the... circus freak lead.
I could, yeah, I don't... carnies.
Okay, so should Skeet go to take the body to examine? Or should I go to the circus?
So, are you talking about, is Skeet talking about going with someone or just going to investigate stuff all by himself?
Well, yes, both. I'm trying to decide whether or not I should take the body back and pull the bullets out of his head.
I kind of think that's your job.
Yeah, but I'm... I'm really interested in going to the circus.
Realistically, though, I don't know your guy would be allowed to just ditch and go investigate with the detectives.
Listen to my character. Realistically, despite his medical background and his jumpy personality, he's very keen to believe in the existence of the supernatural.
Yeah, he really wants to go with you.
I think if we split up, we need to do one with the agent and one with the detective.
So, I don't care. I mean,
well, I think
I'm not
the author is my responsibility,
the
so it would make more sense if Abe came with me.
That's right.
Okay, well then I will go with Agent Malone.
All right, well, if I got a smart guy here, Mr. Doctor, why don't you come with me to the library? You can do some research. I'll see if I can look into whatever this appointment is that he had in his book.
That sounds stupid.
All right, or we can go to the circus and just have fun.
Okay. I don't want to go read books.
Cracker Jack's on me, pal.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, we've got Flint Westwood and Deuce McGuffin going to the Sober Leprechaun, and we've got Skeet Fluter. I can't even say your name without laughing, dude. Skeet Fluter and Agent Malone are going to the circus.
I don't want to go to the circus. I want
to
go.
No, they're going
to
the
library.
Are you going to the library or are you going to the circus?
Circus scares me.
How about we meet up together and go to the circus?
And then meet us at the circus afterward.
I like that idea.
Sounds good. Let's do it. Break.
Okay. Which one do you want to play out first? Do you guys want to do the Sober Leprechaun? Or
you're the game master, bro. You do what you choose.
And the Sober Leprechaun is like a mob bar, right?
Yeah.
A mob bar.
For the O'Malley's.
The O'Malley.
All right, we're gonna do the sober.
Okay.
We're gonna do the sober leprechaun next.
Okay, Skeet Fluter will go with Malone to the library.
All right.
As I'm walking by the dead guy, though, I'd like to say, "Shame, shame. We know your name."
Hold your horses.
Nobody laughs.
Get it?
Lose 2 points of sanity.
I don't get what you're talking about.
So as you guys exit the warehouse, right as the rain starts to stop, I guess. Right as the rain calms down, you see the sun is just starting to come up over the eastern seaboard. You go your separate ways. Flint Westwood to his one car, trailed just like a little puppy, just like before. Deuce McGuffin right behind him. Skeet Fluter and Agent Malone, the strangest pairing I've ever seen, climb into their own car and each takes their own direction. Skeet Fluter, Agent Malone towards the university library to the north, and the other two towards the Sober Leprechaun in the south.
Did you say the Silver Leprechaun or the Sober Leprechaun?
I don't know if you guys noticed, but on that matchbook, on the inside, it says the Sober Leprechaun, purveyor of the finest non-alcoholic Irish water.
Nice. Yeah, I couldn't read quite what that said.
If you click on the things, it pulls it. Like,
yeah, I still could read it.
Yeah, it's okay. All right, here we go.
Ooh, this is cool.
Look at that, man.
Oh, real nice, Pete. Showing me up all the time with all your fancy photos. It's supposed to be.
Pete's hosting is way better.
I have to do the flashy stuff because I'm not good at the actual substance stuff. All right.
This is a cool pub, though.
Look, I think you're doing pretty well, buddy.
Like newspapers on the ceiling.
A lot
That's
of
cool.
non-alcoholic water.
Okay, so Detective Deuce, you guys pull up outside the Sober Leprechaun. It's still dark, but for some reason there's a light on inside, even though it's probably 4:30 in the morning at this point. You knock on the door. The bartender, he's a tall, thin man with kind of a larger nose and a kind of beady eyes. Looks sort of like a rat. He peers out at you. He tries to wave you away.
I flash my badge and say, "Hey, beady-eyed little man boy, how about you let us in for a chat?"
He rolls his eyes and he unlocks the door. He lets you in.
Thank you.
As you enter, he goes and stands back behind the bar. For now, all you can hear, or all you can see, is the barman. But I want you both to roll me a listen check.
Listen. Let me see how I listen. Okay, my listen is 65. 56. Nope, 59.
I rolled an 18 out of 70, so hard success.
Okay. You listen closely, and you can hear voices coming from the upstairs. So it's pretty clear that the barman isn't there just all by himself minding the bar. Oi, what you all doing here in the middle of the night?
Can I catch your name? Didn't catch your name. Can I get your name?
My name's not important. What are you doing here?
How about you tell me your name? And then we can go from there.
My name's Barman.
Barman.
Elijah Barman.
Does that mean
Barman.
That you're selling illegal liquor?
Yeah, you look up behind him, and the bottles on the wall are very clearly alcohol.
So, Mr. Barman, we can either have this nice friendly chat here, or I can take you downtown. We can have it in the precinct. Choice is yours.
Right. Let's get the O'Malley's downtown to talk about it. Maybe we'll get, you know, the mayor down there and you can explain to him why his friends, the O'Malleys that he played cards with last night, are down there answering questions. Listen, this isn't alcohol behind me. This is water. You see this green one over here? That's seawater. This brown one, that's potato water. And this one right here, this muddy, disgusting looking one, this one's my favorite. This one's sewer water. So how about I give you a little bit of that and then we throw you out on your ear?
Hey there, Mr. Barman. How about you give me one of those waters? One of the hardest waters you've got.
He turns
Slap
around
a dollar bill
a
down on the tink.
Cup.
Tink. Or a coin.
Well,
what is the law skill?
Give me a minute.
You give me a...
Like how well you know the law?
You give me a nickel. He turns around briefly, grabs a glass, and he puts actual water in it. Here you are. Thank you for your patronage.
All right, let's cut the crap, Barman.
Well, that's some good water.
What can you tell me about Seamus O'Malley?
What about Seamus? He gives you kind of a... His eyes shift slightly when you mention Seamus.
Clearly... You knew the man, and I have it on good authority that he was here within the last 24 hours.
Well, of course I knew the man. Did you see the sign outside? It says O'Malley's.
Then maybe you can tell me why he's dead and missing both of his hands.
What do you mean he's dead? He was... What do you mean he's dead?
I mean he gave up the ghost. Ceased to be. Expired.
I don't believe you.
He is an ex-Seamus.
How about you go get whoever's in charge and let me talk to them then, you numbnut.
All right, I'm gonna let you roll a fast talk.
I have 5% on that.
Well, then you're gonna fail.
It sounded like an intimidate to me.
All right, fine. Go ahead and roll an intimidate. What'd you get?
I just rolled 17. All right, intimidate 65.
Okay. All right. Why don't you just go on upstairs? If you're telling me the truth and Seamus is really dead, his uncle Connor is up there. He's in charge around here. He'll want to know. But I'm gonna warn you right now. If you're putting one over on me, this is not something that we take lightly, and this is not something that Connor will ever forget.
Look, barman, just calm your tits and show me the way.
I just told you to go up the stairs.
Maybe I should make the author stay down here. I don't know, what do you think?
I start walking up the stairs.
Alright. Hey, we go upstairs.
Alright. You guys go up the stairs and you turn the corner. There's a lone lamp lit. And around the lamp, and from the light of the lamp, you see a single table with three men sitting and playing cards by themselves.
Oh, we're playing strip poker. Would you like to join in?
Skeet Fluter.
Oh, I'm in.
Oh, I'm down to me skivvies already.
They're not playing strip poker.
They're playing Naked Twister.
I'm sorry. I'm going to calm
That's
down.
Right. I ain't taking off me skivvies.
Too much soda.
This guy's real disappointed. Go ahead, he's got a strip.
Okay, so in the middle, you can tell that one of them is a little bit older than the other two, and he's got an air of somebody who's in charge. They're all wearing fedoras because this is the 20s and fedoras are dope. The guy on the left also kind of, he looks more like a weasel than a rat, but he keeps looking over at Connor like he's waiting for a cue from him. You can see somewhat of a little bit of a family resemblance between those two. I see you got past my barman.
Yeah, you're very observant.
Have you come to tell me my nephew is dead?
Now how would you know that?
Come on now. What do you think? I've got eyes and ears all over the city. Do you expect me to not know when my own flesh and blood has gone the way of all the earth?
God, I suppose you can tell me what happened last night, or happened early this morning. What happened to the man?
Unfortunately, I cannot tell you that.
Yeah, well, I've heard that he's been quite the screw-up in the family. Maybe he screwed up one last time and you guys decided to punch his ticket.
Is that the best you can do? Yeah, your information is a little old. Yes, everybody knows Seamus has had some problems in the past. But a couple of weeks ago, he brought me a cool 50,000, and everything's been good ever since. I don't know what you're talking about. He doesn't do specific work for me. Seamus is his own man.
Yeah, well, I highly doubt he got that 50,000 by selling newspapers in Amsterdam.
Oh, that was much better. I don't know, maybe he does and maybe he doesn't. I don't care what Seamus is up to as long as he's bringing in the greenbacks, you know what I'm saying.
Hey, detective.
Yeah?
Ask him about the manifest.
About the manifest?
Yeah, ask him about the carnival.
What can you tell me about the circus that's in town? That was the ship that most recently docked, closest to the time of the murder.
I honestly have no idea what you're talking about. If I had to guess, I would think that Seamus his death has nothing to do with any circus.
Then what would you guess his death had to do with?
Well, I mean, we're the O'Malleys. We have many enemies. Chiefest among them, the Italians on the other side of the river. You do the math. Put two and two together.
can you tell me anybody that might have had a particular beef with Seamus?
I can tell you many people who have a beef with me. I'm the one who finds it a little bit amusing that mere days after we welcome Seamus back into our family with open arms, somebody goes and puts two in the back of his head. And don't think I don't know whose calling card that is. Yes, I'll have it out for the postman. But the postman never acts on his own volition. I want to know who it was that ordered the hit.
Can you tell me why he was missing his hands?
What are you talking about? Missing his hands?
Your nephew had no hands.
Are you telling me?
His hands were completely removed surgically.
That my sister's lad... No, wait, he had my same last name. Are you telling me that my brother's lad, my wee little nephew that I once dandled on my own knee, had his hands mutilated and taken?
I don't know if they were mutilated, but they were surgically removed. We got a real psychopath on our hands. Now, I would appreciate any help you can give me so that we can wrap this case up pronto.
So while they're having this conversation, I was standing behind him, kind of scribbling my notes, and I drew the symbol of the gateway on one of my piece of papers. And I'm going to step around the detective and just, like, kind of flip it up real quick and ask him if he'd seen it. Have you seen the... Have you seen this? Hey, Mr. O'Malley, have you ever seen this symbol before?
It's personality mirroring. It's good. It's
good. Abe's a changeling.
Anyway, step around. Excuse me, have you ever seen this symbol before?
Mr. Deuce McGuffin. It's a famous author.
Yes,
author extraordinaire.
I think I may have read one or two of his novels in the past.
Oh, that's good to hear.
So when you show the symbol to Connor, his eyes do something strange. They get kind of shifty, as if maybe there's something there.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
I'm gonna roll a psychology to see if he's full of poo. Okay.
Yeah, I believe I would be looking for some lies there too, as I'm looking in his shifty eyes.
I rolled 84 out of 85.
You failed. Ooh. Just kidding.
Yeah, it's. You can tell that he's being evasive. Abe, did you roll?
I haven't yet. 77.
Out of what's your?
Out of 50.
Oh yeah. You think he's on the up and up?
Okay.
You think the water downstairs is really water too?
Water.
Yeah, you can tell he's being evasive.
Look, I can tell you know something about this symbol, so why don't you just make everyone's lives easier by telling me what you know, so that I can get out of your hair and continue on my investigation.
That sounds like a persuade to me. Why don't you roll a persuade?
Well, persuade blows chance. 57 out of 10.
You only have a 10?
10%, yeah. How about you please just tell me, sir? I get down on my knees and start begging.
Oh my gosh.
Get down on your knees and tell me you love me.
I heard you've been smooching with Cliff and Bony Bags.
It's a lie.
Mr. O'Malley, I'm writing a book about this whole experience, and
make sure you leave us.
I would like
it.
To portray you in the best light possible.
I would
so
prefer
any
to not
help
be portrayed
you can give
in
us in this
light.
Investigation would just be fantastic. What do you think? I mean, I could put in a plug for your establishment here, too.
We don't really want the notoriety here.
What if he uses aliases for your names?
Now we're talking. All right, I'll let you roll a persuaded.
Charm. What's better on yours?
Oh, okay, yeah, charm. That works.
No, actually, persuade's better for me.
That sounded persuasive.
Sounded
not charming.
Okay, I've got a 60 persuade. 37.
All right. I will
I believe you.
Tell you but my Tommy gun don't. All right, Mr. McGuffin. And I do like that you've got a little bit of the Irish way in your last name. And I have read a couple of your books in the past. Spent a few hours, so I will tell you this. I do recognize at least the form of that symbol you showed me. You asked me before what Seamus has been doing. It's true, he's been over in Europe, Asia, all over. He's been dealing in antiquities. I don't know the specifics, but he did show me one time something he had. I believe it was a tablet or a rock of some kind. It had a symbol. It didn't look exactly like that, but when you showed me that, that's what it reminded me of. But he was dealing in antiquities. That's where he got that cool 50 thou.
Okay.
Now, if you're saying that that have anything to do with Seamus's death, that's what I'd be looking.
It appears something he was involved in perhaps got him killed.
Do these antiquities have anything to do with the circus in town? I don't like those circus freaks. They give me the creeps.
I truly have no idea what you're talking about with these circus freaks. I know nothing about the circus.
Well, I'm good.
Oh, what was the...
Let's see.
The thing about the library.
Any idea what he was doing at the library yesterday at 9 a.m.? The university library, that is.
All right. I'll give you a little bit more of information. I don't know anything about the library. But Seamus always used the same fence when he sold his antiquities. This guy knows everything that's going on anywhere in the city. He would be the one that I would talk to if I were you.
Can I get a name?
Yeah, his name is Jimmy the Fish.
Where might I find Mr. the Fish?
I don't know, I'm not his mom. Find him yourself. You're a detective.
Well, so I am. All right, MacGuffin. Let's take off.
All right, thank you, Mr. O'Malley. Could I shake your hand?
No. Ugh. Get out.
Okay. It was a pleasure. We leave.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Arkham Files. If you liked what you heard, head on over to Patreon and get the final conclusion of A Helping Hand along with some other bonus episodes. www.patreon.com/TheArkhamFiles. Thanks again.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.